on a lesson that I had been on 2 weeks or so ago. But in one sense, I also want to relate the lesson to the time or the season in which we are. We are in what is a tradition known as Easter season. Now, what must be kept in mind is that Christmas is about the birth of Christ, while Easter is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In other words, well, let me back up. Easter was not celebrated by first century Christians. Very important that we be mindful of that. The Christian in the first century, Paul, Peter, these followers of Jesus Christ who live that first 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, 200 years after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, they knew nothing about Easter. Easter is a man-made tradition. That's right. You notice everybody asks, are there bun and cheese? Because it's a man-made tradition. But here now, get this. The fact remains that Jesus Christ did die for our sin. And in that way, if the minds, the thoughts of men and women are brought to the point of remembering Christ's sacrificial death at this time, then praise be to God for that, that we remember the sacrifice that Christ made. But as I get further into this lesson, I will be pointing out that the lesson I'm picking up on is about the wrath that is the vexation of God. But God's wrath comes from God's holiness. Had God not been holy, God wouldn't have any issue with sin. But because God is holy, sin must be dealt with. Wait, God cannot just simply look on sin and smile and move on. Because of God's very nature, the essence of God makes it impossible for God to ignore sin. He's a holy God. And it is for that reason I stated, I think Sunday, God, and 2 weeks before that, the previous Sunday, Brother Kidd, who preached for us, I stated that the Almighty God has a plan for sin. And that is sin will have to be paid for in Jesus Christ, or be punished in the eternal hell. God has no other arrangement, no other plan for our sin. Somebody didn't get that. God's plan is that sin be paid for in Christ, hence the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That the Almighty God so loved you and me that he gave Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sin. Watch here now. That we could not pay. Even if you and I should have died on the cross, that still would not take care of the price of our sin. When we sin, we lose the ability. We lose the wherewithal to deal with sin. We cannot. It takes Jesus Christ. By giving his life on the cruel cross of Calvary, to pay for our sin. And this season, Easter, you hear people talk about Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. As far as God is concerned, all the Fridays are good.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Those are man-made tradition. But it is not man-made tradition that Jesus Christ died. But let me go on before I relate some more the lesson to this season. According to the passage of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, I think that was the passage that was read this morning. Could we hear it again? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. And this passage is telling us that God has a score to settle with Satan and sin. Somebody didn't hear that. The passage that is about to be read, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9.
And to you who are troubled.
And to you who are troubled.
Rest with us.
Rest with us.
When the Lord Jesus.
Where the Lord Jesus.
Shall be revealed from heaven.
Shall be revealed from heaven.
With his mighty angels.
He's coming with his mighty angel.
In flaming fire.
He's coming in flaming fire. Wait, brother, take time with me. He's coming in flaming fire. Why not with water? Somewhere down to the end of the lesson, I'll be dealing more with that, because the Bible also tells us that God is a consuming fire. But we'll deal with that. He's coming in what?
Flaming fire.
And what is he going to be doing?
Taking vengeance on them that know not God.
And
that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
God taking vengeance?
That's correct.
Wait, did you get that? In a few minutes, I'll be probably saying a little more about that vengeance is usually the outgrowth or the manifestation of something wrong having been done to a person, and the person is now coming with what?
Vengeance.
With vengeance.
On them that know not God.
Upon them that know not God and those who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Did I not say that God, this passage is telling you and me that the Almighty God has a score to settle with sin, Satan, and the determinedly and rep- unrepentant and wicked men and women. Are we all there? Are we all there? May I? In the first place, the eternal hell was not made for man. I need to repeat that. When the Almighty God, in His wisdom and holiness, made this place a fire, it was meant primarily for Satan and his angel. They used to serve God in heaven and they rebelled. They wanted to be God too. So the Almighty God has fixed it in His holiness that not only Satan and his angel, but men and women who in disobedience take side with Satan. Are we all there? Let me hear verse 8 again, brother.
In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God,
mm-hmm.
and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we all there? The passage. The passage refers equally to unbelievers of all races, of all nations, of all classes, of all nationality. Wherever men and women are found that live disobedient, ungodly, rebellious lives against the will of the Almighty God. For now, the Almighty God is extending grace and mercy. That's what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is about. Yes, Easter is all about the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. But please respond to the grace of God before it is everlastingly too late. And Christians, remain faithful until death. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Old Testament, God's coming for judgment is described as His coming in fire. So the passage that the brother read just now in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through verse 8 and 9, that is New Testament. But in the Old Testament, God is so described. Let us run to one or two of those passages. Let us hear Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. Let us hear Daniel chapter 7, 9 through 10. Let us hear those passages. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? I've just said that in the Old Testament, God's coming for judgment is described as His coming in fire. Let us hear the passage. Exodus 3, and I think I want verse 2, and then Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 through 10.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush.
So here we have a flame of fire. Now listen to Daniel in chapter 7, 9 through 10.
held till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head, the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame.
His throne was like what?
The fiery flame.
Uh-huh.
And his wheels as burning fire. A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him.
So here again, God is constantly being associated with fire. When the Almighty God destroyed the ancient world, the Almighty God promised Noah that he's not going to destroy it again with water. But fire. Watch it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 13, 12 through 13. Let us hear it.
Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood.
Wait. It's lightening these. It is lightening our Christian life and that which we offer to God as gold, silver,
precious stone,
wood,
hay, stubble.
Those are easily consumed, burn up. That's the wood and thing. But the goal, you see, and what the Bible is here showing, is that some of what some of us offer to God, it's likened to wood, to hay, to stubble. That means they can't stand the test. Because many of us, we do not give God what God asks for. Read on, brother.
Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire.
It shall be what?
Revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work.
Here again, fire that's going to try or test or examine the type of Christians that we are, or that which we offer to God. Are we all there? Watch it. The Bible also tells us, wait, remember the passage that was read in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, it tells us that God will come with his mighty angel in flaming fire. Am I right? Taking what? Vengeance. Am I right? But the Bible tells us that vengeance is God's prerogative. The Bible even go on to tell us that we must not, as human beings, we must not take vengeance. But we must leave it up to God. Passage like Deuteronomy 32, 35. Romans 12, 19. Let me hear Romans 12, 19. Romans 12, 19.
Dearly beloved. Avenge not yourselves. But rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine.
Wait. It doesn't mean it belongs to you or Carl Mitchell, you know. What this passage, don't move from the passage. This passage is telling us not to be vindictive. Not to take vengeance. Because the Almighty God has a payday coming and he will pay. Read the passage.
Love, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine.
Vengeance belongs to God.
I will repay.
And God will repay. Are we all here?
Say the Lord.
So when the Bible in the book of 2 Thessalonians tells us that God will come to take vengeance upon two classes of people. And those two classes of people include every ungodly man and woman on earth. Those two classes of people include, one, those who do not know God. Are we all there? And two, those who did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just drop this by. And you know, I always remind you that I'm a kind person and I like to give brought up. When the Bible speaks about vengeance is mine, and I will repay. Read the passage again quickly, brother. And I will repay, saith the Lord. Read Romans chapter 12, and I think it was verse 19.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
That is, whatever a person might have done to you or me, even if you have court case and you feel that you have not gotten justice, this passage is saying, leave the rest of it up to God. God will see to it that you get justice. Don't seek to take vengeance on any person. Wait. I am well aware that a lot of times evil has been done to you that you feel you can't wait on God. But God is telling us here that no man or woman will get away from God. Vengeance belongs to God. But notice this now. Vengeance is that emotion which grows out of wrong done to the person. When we speak about, in my lifetime, I have read and I have even witnessed as a young man, person who felt evil was done to him or her, and the person decide to take vengeance. And that's not a good thing. But brothers and sisters, remember, vengeance grows out of that feeling of hurt, disappointment, that feeling of somebody do you wrong. And the person feel that there have to be some recompense. And you might be there asking, Brother Mitchell, what wrong have we done to God? And it is in this way. Remember, I told you and remind you that this season, it's Easter season. Eh? It's the season when we should reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But watch here too. It's not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a season when we reflect on the love of the Almighty God. Because that is what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what Easter is about. That God gave his Son. But watch here now. So why is God coming back to take vengeance? Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that if the Almighty God permit Jesus Christ to die, the cruel, the barbaric death, the torturing death that Christ died, having never committed a sin. And Jesus Christ had to pay that price for you and me. And if we treat Jesus Christ's sacrificial death as if it is nothing, Are you all there? If we show all the disregard, the disrespect to Christ's blood, Christ's suffering, then ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God is coming back to take vengeance. The price that was paid for sin should be appreciated by every man and every woman. Run to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And I think I want from somewhere around verse 16 or 15 there, Hebrews chapter 10. Let me hear from around verse 28. Remember, don't forget, Thessalonians, God is coming back to take vengeance on two sets of people. And these two sets of people include all the sinners wherever they are found. Wait. God doesn't hate you. Wait, I need to say that again. God doesn't hate you, but he hates the sin. And if you continue, wait, I need to drop this too. I need to drop this back. Wait. Are you waiting? A lot of times when we set out to please, to secure our eternal peace with God, we choose not what God stipulates in his Bible, in the gospel. We choose what we like, what we want. So I'm here begging you. You know, that's why I'm holding the mic at my mouth. I'm begging you. In choosing to turn your life over to God, don't treat God like when you go to a restaurant. It's working. When you go to a restaurant, the waitress or the waiter doesn't come serving you what they like. They ask you what you want. In pleasing God, don't search for the religion that cater to your fancy. Wait, somebody didn't get that. You must study God's word, the Bible, and see what the Almighty God has stipulated. Because in becoming a child of God, you want to become a true Christian. Wait, let me. I tell you that I'm a kind man and I love to give a lot of barter. Do you know that even in worship, we look for worship that entertain us? We must look for worship that is done in spirit and in truth. Have you ever thought what it meant when it says worship him? In truth, it means worship him according to his word. So, all what I'm saying here is just brother. You know, I soon get back to my lesson. That the religious world today, men and women keep seeking. People talk about, go to the church of your choice. God did not give us a choice. It's not like going to a restaurant where I ask for ackee and salt fish and you ask for mackerel and banana and the person asks for steamed fish. Christianity is not like that. Christianity is all about what God wants and dictates. And we must get in our head that it has nothing to do what we like. It has to do with us submitting our lives to God's wish. Everybody gets that? Huh? So where were we now?
Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 10.
Verse 28.
Let me hear it, brother, and what we're looking on. It's the fact that God is coming back to take vengeance. For what, Brother Mitchell? Because we have not responded to God's love in Jesus Christ with gratitude and reverence. You see, listen to the passage.
He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses.
Wait. I need to start wrapping up this lesson. My God, time goes. He that despised, what the Bible is doing here is comparing two systems. It's comparing the Old Testament, where Moses was the lawgiver for Israel, and the New Testament, where Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Watch here now. The writer is trying to get the people's rationality. He said, anyone who despised Moses' law, watch it, anyone who treat God's law through Moses, anyone who treated it with disregard, disrespect, treated it as if it is not that important, treated it as if they do not have to study it, know it, and live by it, treated it the way they want, anyone who did that to the law of Moses died how?
Without mercy.
Died how?
Without mercy.
Died how?
Without mercy.
At the words of one or two witnesses.
Two or three witnesses.
It's continued reasoning, brother.
Of how much sorrow, punishment.
You see what it's doing? It is comparing how God treated the lawbreaker under Moses. And it is saying to you and me, think now. If God can treat sinner under the Old Testament, treat them like that, without what?
Of
without mercy.
Sorrow punishment, suppose he.
It is telling us under the New Testament, under the gospel of Christ, we must realize that our punishment will be much, much greater.
Amen.
But watch here. God doesn't want any of us to experience that punishment. Everybody gets it? It is not the will of God that any should perish,
but that all
should come to repentance. But if we are careless with our soul, if we are careless with the word of God, if we go through life, want religion that cater to our whims and fancy, then we are in trouble even before we get started. What you have just read? He that despised Moses' law died without mercy at the words of two or three witnesses.
Of how much more sore punishment?
That is how hotter the punishment will be.
Suppose he shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God.
Wait. That trodden underfoot is talk about our disposition towards Christ, towards the teaching of Christ, towards the gospel, towards the church, towards things like worship. Don't come to worship to be entertained. Worship is about giving to God. Always remember that. God gives to us every second of the day. He gives you and me strength to go about our businesses and our activities. He provides for us. Worship is the time when we come together to give to God. And you give to God according to what he stipulates. So don't see religion as something that caters to your whims and fancy. True Christianity is about us pleasing the Almighty God, God's way. Of how much sorer punishment shall he
be thought worthy,
who hath trodden underfoot
the Son of God.
As way some men treat God from God's perspective. Read on.
And have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and an holy thing, and hath done despite unto the
Spirit. Wait. All this, you know, is describing people's attitude toward Christ. Surprisingly, what the brother is reading in this context is referring to unfaithful Christian. Did you all hear it? This passage, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 following, is talking about Christians who are unfaithful, Christians who do not take God's word seriously, Christians who do not take worship seriously, Christians who do not take the communion serious and take it with reverence. All of that is what the writer here is talking about. The passage now in Thessalonians, where he's coming to take vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel, that covers all sinners. But the passage in Hebrews here is talking about Christians who are backslidden, who are growing weak, who do not consider their Christianity as serious as they ought to. That's what this passage is talking about. Are we all there? The attitude we have toward Jesus Christ, that can be so wrong. God is coming back to take vengeance. Can I get your permission to wrap up right now? Okay. May I? Yes. Give me a few minutes and the lesson will be yours. There was an occasion when David took a census in Israel, and it was a grave sin for God. But you say, Brother Mitchell, took a census here. David counted the Israelite. But David counted the Israelite because David wanted to know how strong his army was. God was mad with him. He should have depended on God and not look to the strength of his army. He sinned greatly, as simply as that looked to us. But watch here. The Almighty God offered David a choice of three punishments. Three. For David to choose one. Listen the word in 2 Samuel 24, 14. I just want a point there. 2 Samuel 24, 14.
And David said unto God, I am in a great strait.
That I am confronted with a dilemma. I'm between a rock and a hard place, because God gave him three punishments. Choose one. Any one he chose, they were terrible. And he speaks, is it to G-A-D or G-O-D?
G-A-D.
That is the prophet Gad. The prophet that was sent to him. And he said, I am in what?
I am in great straits. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man.
May I? The very choice the man made was wise. He said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. But why I've read this passage is to remind us that there is a difference in falling into the hands of God for correction and falling into the hands of God for judgment. There is a difference. You will read other places, like in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Quick.
It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
You see, there is a difference between falling into God's hand for correction and falling into God's hand for judgment. When David chose to fall into God's hand in 2 Samuel 24:14, that was for correction. For God's chastisement to set him right. But the falling into God's hand in Hebrews 10:31 is the falling into God's hand that you and I do not want.
Amen.
That is for judgment. As I close, let me hear verse 27 of Hebrews 10.
But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries.
The fiery indignation that shall devour
the adversary.
The word devour here is probably better translated eating up. That's what the fire will do. Watch here. We don't like to hear about like fire of hell and all of that. And that's what I pointed out to the congregation a few weeks ago, that for umpteen years, I hardly preach a sermon on hell, truly. And that is not good. We don't like to hear about the fire of hell. But you know what, brothers and sisters? As I close, just remind us that it is a subject that the Bible speaks about so much. The Almighty God used fire to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19. Korah and his company were destroyed by God with fire. Numbers 16, 35 following. God answered Elijah's prayer with fire. 1 Kings 18, 38 following. God is described as a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Jesus Christ, according to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, Jesus Christ will appear in his second coming in flaming fire. Peter consigned the entire present world to the destruction of fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 following. And John the Baptist speak of the unquenchable fire in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. All over the Bible speaks of fire. But as I close, God doesn't want any man to end up in the eternal hell. Hence, God gave Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sin that we could not pay. Let me beg you, don't take the love of God for granted. Please, while you are in good health and strength, respond to the appeal of the gospel of Christ. Repent and be baptized for the removal of your sin. Jesus Christ not only loves you today, loves you now. Jesus Christ wants you to repent and to give him your life now. You know why? He has promised tomorrow to none of us. If you are here today, if you have never felt the need for Christ to the extent that you urgently want to turn your life over to him, I'm telling you that today is as good a day as any time, or probably better than any time. You know what? Today is given to us. And if you have not yet obeyed the gospel Christ's way, you and I do not sure we will see tomorrow. Christ loves you, died for you. And you know what? You and I are going to live eternally somewhere, either in the eternal hell or the eternal heaven. We are going to live forever. God so made us with a spiritual soul that beyond this life, there is another life. Become a child of God before it is everlastingly too late. Securing a relationship with Christ through obedience is more important than anything that you are now doing in life. Christ in love, in grace, in mercy says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We are going to stand and sing a song. Jesus Christ in love, in grace, in mercy is calling you to come to him. Let Jesus Christ be the one who manages your life from now onward. I'm not here discussing that you need Christ. Whether I say it or not, you need Christ. That's right, if you are not a child of God. You might even be a church member but didn't become a Christian the Bible's way. Let us stand.